Welcome to the latest episode of the Basketball Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you haven't subscribed yet to the Basketball Podcast, make sure you subscribe on your favorite listening platform. We also have an email address. You can send us fun emails. You can send us questions for our mailbag. The email address is thebasketballpc@gmail.com. That's thebasketballpc@gmail.com. Before we get into this episode, I just have to take a moment to thank my loyal listeners that have been with me since day one. From the beginning of this podcast, I didn't have a distribution network. I wasn't known for any other podcasts. I really just started this from the basement in my house, and it's grown into an international phenomenon, and I just have to thank my listeners. I especially want to thank all of the well-wishers that send me emails through my Gmail account. I'm getting hundreds of emails a day for this podcast with well-wishes, with encouragement. 99% of those emails are coming from Nigerian princes that all seem to have AOL.com email addresses. A lot of them are trying to donate money directly to my bank account after I provide them with my routing information and my social security number. So, a little unorthodox, but I just have to say thank you to the whole country of Nigeria, and specifically the numerous Nigerian princes, huge AOL.com fans apparently, all of the Nigerian princes that have offered to donate money directly to my bank account once I provide them with my routing information and my social security number. Thank you for supporting this podcast. As much as I appreciate that offer to directly deposit the funds into my bank account once I provide you with routing information and my social security number, there is an easier way. If you go to the website for the Basketball Podcast, there's a way that you can donate money directly to me, and that way I don't have to provide my banking information and my social security number. So to all the Nigerian princes out there, I kindly ask that you contribute to the podcast using the formal donation process. Also, I just want to address this other side note. All of the widows that keep emailing me, letting me know that they're former husband left behind a fortune for them, and they just happen to want to donate it to me. I have to say, I mean, when I get those emails, I am incredibly humbled, and I would happily take your family fortunes that your late husband has left to you that you've inherited. I'm incredibly humbled that you feel obligated to donate all of that to the Basketball Podcast. I think it just goes to show what a contribution this podcast can make to better a person's life. And if you haven't shared this podcast with someone yet, especially with widows, make sure you do so. In this episode of the Basketball Podcast, we're talking about an incredibly important topic. And I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm just going to get right into it. Greg Popovich is not a Hall of Fame coach, and I'm going to talk about why. I'm tired of Greg Popovich being the gold standard for coaches in the NBA, because he's just not a good coach. He's not a Hall of Fame coach. We're going to talk about that. We've also got a mailbag segment at the end, so stay tuned for that. Thank you again for listening. If you haven't subscribed, make sure you subscribe. If you're a Nigerian prince and you want to donate money to us, please use the website instead of trying to steal my banking information. You're listening to the Basketball Podcast. So I think when you hear the title of this podcast, you're immediately skeptical. I understand. You're thinking to yourself, this guy's nuts. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay, quite honestly, I am nuts. I don't know if I do know what I'm talking about. But I do want to present this as a case. I don't think it's that far of a stretch to say that Greg Popovich has been blessed with the best talent of any team over the past 25 years. Consistently. He's had the best talent consistently on his team for the last 23, 25 years. Some of his numbers, Greg Popovich has the numbers. Don't get me wrong. If you say no, he's the best coach in the NBA, you have the numbers to argue that he's the best coach in NBA history. He's won the most games as a coach. He has had a winning record for each of the 22 full seasons that he's coached a team. And that's a little asterisk because the first season that he coached a team, he went 17-47. But of course, he didn't have a Hall of Fame player on that team. Well, he did. He had Dominique Wilkins, but he didn't have a Hall of Fame player in his prime. Let's put it that way. The Spurs, during Popovich's tenure, have had a winning record against every other team. And the Spurs have won 5 championships. So, again, he's got the numbers. I'm not going to argue with that. My point for why Greg Popovich is not an elite NBA coach is because Greg Popovich has done this strictly with Hall of Famers. He has had a Hall of Famer on his team. Every year, he's had a Hall of Famer. Now, let me preface this by saying, I'm assuming that Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and Kawhi Leonard will all be Hall of Famers at the end of their career. I think it's safe to say that Kawhi Leonard will be a Hall of Famer. He's never won MVP. He's won 2 NBA Finals MVPs. But I think it's safe to say that if Tracy McGrady can be a Hall of Famer, Kawhi Leonard will certainly be a Hall of Famer. T-Mac could be a Hall of Famer. Kawhi Leonard should already be in the Hall of Fame. Popovich had David Robinson. He inherited David Robinson when he took over coaching. And let's also, just so you understand, Greg Popovich wasn't hired as the coach. He was hired as a general manager to the Spurs. He had never been a head coach. And then David Robinson went down with a back injury. The Spurs started off to like a 3-16 record or something horrendous in the 96-97 season. Popovich was the GM, fired the current coach, and took over coaching duties and led them to a much better record of 17-47. Excellent job, Gregory. Now, don't get me wrong. That team didn't have a David Robinson at full health. Their best player was a Dominique Wilkins, who was aging. He averaged like 18 points a game that season. And I had to look all this up. Don't get me wrong. I didn't know this off the top of my head. He did have Sean Elliott on his team, who was a former All-Star. So that's a quality player. He may have been injured that year too, though. But we all know the story. Greg Popovich took over for the Spurs. The Spurs stunk in 96-97. And they were gifted Tim Duncan. He was supposed to go to the Knicks. He didn't. Spurs got the number one pick, and they took Tim Duncan, who was Rookie of the Year. He was clearly an all-star as soon as he entered the league. He was such a prized asset. It was clear that this guy was going to be an excellent player in the NBA. He's one of those surefire picks. There was no argument that year of who should be the number one pick. It was Timothy Duncan, and the Spurs got him. So for the next 6-7 years, until 2003, Popovich is playing with 2 future Hall of Famers at center and power forward. 2 of the greatest big men to have ever played the game. Later, he acquires Tony Parker through the draft. He also gets Manu Ginobili through the draft. Now don't get me wrong, Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili weren't Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili when Popovich drafted them. It is notable, however, that he is the one that drafted them. Between 96 and 2002 was the general manager making those draft decisions. He drafted 3 notable players. And it was Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili. Good for him. Between 1996 and 2018, 96 to 2018... 1996 to 2018, during that whole stretch, Popovich had at least 1 Hall of Famer on his team. Occasionally he had 2, and often he had 3. And at one point he had 4. Just think about that. This is a guy who has had multiple Hall of Famers on his team consistently. And I'm going to say Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and Kawhi Leonard are all going to be in the Hall of Fame. Tim Duncan will be also. David Robinson already is. I don't think Tim Duncan is. He might be soon. He's had solid all-stars as well on his team. I mean, he did have Dominique Wilkins for a year. If we want to talk about Hall of Famer, he technically had Tracy McGrady on his team for a postseason run. So he technically had 6 Hall of Famers. And if you want to talk about Dominique Wilkins in 96-97, he had 7 Hall of Famers. He had 5 Hall of Famers consistently on his team between the time that he took over in 2018 when Kawhi Leonard was basically out. He had Sean Elliott. He was an all-star. He's got Aldridge now. He's been an all-star. He's not an all-star anymore. He's older. He's not as good. He does have DeMar DeRozan. He was an all-star in a really weak Eastern Conference on the best team in the East. That may not have held up if he was playing in the West. He's had some solid role players on the team. He's had a couple of good free agent signings. He had Bruce Bowen come over. He had Michael Finley come over. Richard Jefferson played on their team for a while when he was still decent. He had a good Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson went on to have a decent career in the NBA. Would have been much better if he didn't beat up Detroit fans. He's had some good players on his team as well. My point to all of this is that Greg Popovich has been blessed with the greatest talent of any team in the past 22 years. That's just the truth. There are other teams in the league that have had better talent for a stretch. But over 22 years, there's no team in the league that can say we had as good a talent as the San Antonio Spurs. If we take away those Hall of Fame player seasons, the seasons where there was definitely a Hall of Fame player playing consistent minutes for old Gregory Charles, his record is 70-91. That's counting the 96-97 season when he had an aging Dominique Wilkins. So maybe we can even take that one out, I guess, if we want to. But including that season and last season, when he didn't have Kawhi Leonard anymore, he's 70-91. I didn't include the season before when Kawhi Leonard was injured for 6 games and the whole relationship between the Spurs and Kawhi really imploded just because he technically had Manu on that team. But if we want to get into the semantics there, they were technically worse that year than last year. They were 47-35 that year that Kawhi was injured. Honestly, go through and look at his numbers. He's consistently winning 50 games until he no longer has a Hall of Famer in their prime. As soon as Kawhi goes down for the season in 2017-2018, because he hurt his ankle in the playoffs in 2017 when Zaza stepped on his foot, and then he only played 6 games in 2017-2018, and then they traded him in the offseason before 2018-2019, before last year. That first season without Kawhi, without Tim Duncan, Manu was still playing. I think that was the year Tony Parker went to Charlotte. He was still playing, or he was injured some. They had 2 old Hall of Famers on their team. 47-35. That's still a good record. Don't get me wrong. They made the playoffs. That's still a good record. They had LaMarcus Aldridge at that time, too, so he was still an all-star. Don't get me wrong. That's a fine record. But that's a decent record. That's a decent record. That's a good, solid record. But that's not 61-21 like the year before when they had Kawhi Leonard, who was a top 3 player in the NBA. Or some of the other seasons in 2004-2005, 59-23. I mean, just the numbers are, it's clear. It's just clear to me as I'm looking at that. The other thing I want to bring up, though, it's not just how well does he perform with and without Hall of Fame players. I think it's important to think through that. He's had the greatest talent of any team for the past 25 years, consistently. His international coaching is atrocious. His international coaching record is atrocious. He was on the 2004 FIBA team as an assistant. That was the team that lost to Yugoslavia in Indianapolis. I think George Karl was the head coach of that team, so I'm not going to blame Popovich for that. But still, he was associated with it. And then he was also an assistant on the excellent 2004 Olympic team that placed third. Good job. And most notably, he was the head coach of the 2019 FIBA World Cup when we got seventh. There it is. There it is, folks. If he doesn't have Hall of Fame players, if he doesn't have All-Stars, I talked about this in a podcast this offseason. How bad that roster was. There's no Hall of Famers. There's no All-Stars. If we have those players, then this is supposed to be a top program. But we don't. We have starters in the NBA. We have a couple of All-Stars, middling All-Stars on the team. One player has been named to an All-NBA team, and it was Kemba. And they got seventh. Listen, if Greg Popovich is as good of a coach as he is, then he should be able to take that talent. That's all starting caliber NBA talent. He should be able to take that talent and turn it into something, and he couldn't. Now, maybe it's just because they had such a short turnaround, but coach, come on. You're handed starting NBA caliber talent. Do something with it. This is my view on Greg Popovich. Open your eyes, folks. They're 5-10 this year. They're going to miss the playoffs this year. It's over. Greg, you're exposed. He's going to retire. Why wouldn't he? Why would he want to continue to coach without Hall of Famers? He can't coach. He's not a good coach. You heard it here first. Let's jump into the mailbag. I'm tired of talking about Gregory Charles. Get out of my head, Sir Charles. Let's talk about the NBA mailbag. It's time for the mailbag. This is my favorite segment. One question in the mailbag, and apparently it's from a very loyal, empathetic listener. Thank you, loyal listener, that asked this question. The question is this. How do I feel about how well Paul George has been doing in the NBA the last two seasons? Let's just go ahead and say the last season, because he's barely played this season. I understand that he's looked pretty good in his first three games, but he's barely played this season. Yes, last season, Paul George looked wonderful. But I have a bone to pick, once again, with Paul, Mr. George. I've talked about this in length already, but I just want to recap everything stupid Paul George has ever done and or said. It's enjoyable for me to reflect on this. Paul George decided he no longer wanted to play for the Indiana Pacers. And you know what? That's fine. I don't want you if you don't want to be a Pacers player. If you don't love Indiana and you don't love the Pacers, then get out, Paul. And that's what he did. He went to management and said, I don't want to play for the Pacers anymore. And then his agent leaked everything to the media and even leaked that he was asking to go to the Lakers. The reason why they leaked everything? Well, it's because I think the NBA was already investigating them on tampering charges. So it's got to go through the media now. Media has to leak this. And it's an anonymous source. Good work, Paul George's agent. So now the Lakers are like, all right, ball's in our court. We got to get him. Well, the only issue here is that the Lakers don't want to trade for him because he's going to be a free agent next year. The Lakers are sitting there saying, we'll just get you as a free agent, man. Why would we give up assets to get you? You want to come here? Perfect. We'll wait. So that's what they do. They wait. While they're waiting, the Pacers strike a deal with the Thunder and send Paul George to the beautiful, beautiful sunny city, glamorous city of Oklahoma City, where he spends a season playing alongside of Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony in one of the greatest dumpster fires we've ever witnessed in the NBA. After the season, 100% of people are expecting that Paul George is going to go sign with the Lakers because, hey, that's where LeBron James is also going. What happens? At midnight on signing day, Paul George gets on stage with Russell Westbrook and announces that he's back. And he's going to re-sign with Oklahoma City. There wasn't a single soul. Even the people in that crowd were like, what? Is he? Are you sure? Paul, are you sure? Do you want to reconsider this? Here's what's crazier is that Paul decided to not just sign a one-year deal, see how things go, and then reevaluate options the next year. He decides to sign a four-year deal for like $120 million. If he had waited a year, he could have signed a five-year deal worth like $200 million. But no, he just decided, I'm going to lock in 4 years, $120. Now, don't get me wrong. This is a guy with a significant injury history. So I can understand if he's like, nah, I just got to secure the money now and get on with it. I don't want to get injured next year and risk it. That's fine. That's fair. Still, somewhat questionable. Here's where it really starts to get a little tricky. Throughout the season, Paul George starts to come out. Paul George decided that he didn't even want to interview with the Lakers. Lakers didn't even get a shot at interviewing him before he decided to re-sign with the Thunder. Why? Well, it came out that Paul George's reasoning was because the Lakers didn't trade for him. If the Lakers wanted him, they would have traded for him. He wants to play with someone and for a team that wants him. He values loyalty, is essentially what he's saying. He values loyalty. And the Thunder showed that they're loyal to him because they traded for him. I gotta say, that is admirable of Paul George to value loyalty that deeply. To value loyalty that deeply. And I can understand if maybe he didn't feel like there was loyalty in Indiana. They went through a period where they just started flipping guys, flipping players for other players, just trying to find the right match. And they lost a little bit of their identity there. It was all trying to satisfy him, but he didn't see it that way. He values loyalty, and the Lakers wouldn't trade for him. They are not loyal. They're greedy. They wanted their cake, and they wanted to eat it. And Paul George doesn't like that. Paul George is a loyal person. So he signs a 4-year deal with them. He says, we're doing this. We're going to be here for 4 years, folks. Fortunately for him, he didn't get on stage and say anything. Not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6. He didn't say anything stupid like that, like some other NBA players. But he got on a stage and said, I'm back. And boy, was he back. He had an amazing season in 2018-2019. Top 3 player in the league. Incredible run at the beginning of the season. Kind of dipped off there in the second half, but incredible at the beginning of the season. He was an MVP front runner for a while, folks. And he was number 3 overall in MVP. Well, after the season, Kawhi Leonard decides that he's going to go play with the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard, he was with the Raptors for a season, brought them a championship, has all the options he could ever want, and he decides he's going to go to the Clippers on one condition. They need to bring in someone else, and he prefers Paul George. As soon as Paul George hears this, Paul George goes to Sam Presti and to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he says, trade me. This is the same guy that just signed a 4-year deal with them, and he says, trade me. I'm ready to leave. Trade me. So much for loyalty, Paul. That's the recap. That's where we're at. Okay, it took me 6 minutes just to recap all of that. But there's more, folks. There's more. Now it's starting to come out. Paul George continues to talk. Why, Paul? Paul needs to hire someone on a PR team to stand by him and shoot microphones out of reporters' hands. Shoot those microphones out of their hands. Don't ever let Paul talk into a microphone because he just says stupid things. And the latest stupid thing that he has said is that he's now starting to communicate that he's wanted to play with Kawhi Leonard since Kawhi came into the league. I always wanted to play with Kawhi. I thought we were going to get him in 2011. That he's talking about when he was with the Pacers. The Pacers drafted him and then traded him on draft night to the Spurs for George Hill. I thought we had him. I always wanted to play with him. That's what he's been saying. And then, this is the best part. He's now saying that when he went to the Pacers front office and asked for a trade, he said his first option was San Antonio. That's right. Paul George doesn't want to go play under the bright lights of LA. No, why would he want to do that? He wants to go play in the glamorous, amazing San Antonio. Excellent nightlife. Just the pinnacle of... I can't. The pinnacle of NBA nightlife is in San Antonio. Paul George, you are full of absolute garbage. Absolute garbage. That's all I have to say about Paul George. It took me 8 minutes to get that out. Paul George is a fraud. He's a phony. And he's a very good basketball player right now. It's so frustrating to watch. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Basketball Podcast. Subscribe if you're not already subscribed, send us an email at thebasketballpc@gmail.com, and we'll see you on the next episode.